got to preach just a little bit, just a few minutes. I want to hear Brother Sorrell. I love hearing Brother Sorrell preach. But I've been looking at this verse all day. I'm not going to preach the whole message. I'm going to save it. But I want to give you one verse, Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. I enjoyed that Sri Lankan accent that they sang in. Wasn't that a blessing? Good stuff. Good song. I'm glad my father's in control. Amen. Are you in Psalm 40? Look at verse 8. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I'm not going to give you the points on the screen. I want you to write these down. I'm going to give you 3 points, and we're going to go backwards. We'll start at the back of the verse and go to the front. Lord, we ask you to help us now. I'm just trying my best to follow your leadership. Lord, I forgot Brother Sorrell was coming tonight. I worked on this message all day. I saw him when I walked in the sanctuary, and I remembered that I had asked him to preach. But Lord, I do believe you want me to preach a little bit about this. So Lord, I pray that you would just put this service together, and may God's people just relax and enjoy being in the house of God for a little while. Lord knows there's enough craziness going on in this world. We need a little extra time in the house of God. Help us put things in perspective. I pray for your touch and anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. 3 things I want to give you quickly. Write this down. We start with education. In this verse, we see indirectly that before this verse can happen, there has to be an education about the will of God. You can't do the will of God if you don't know what it is. Well, that's deep right there, isn't it? You have to know the will of God. Now, how do you know the will of God? How can you and I know the will of God? By knowing His Word. His will's right here. You're not going to get it any other way. There are no more extra biblical revelation. Everything God wants you to know, it's right here. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I've given you all things, he said, that pertain to life and godliness. Don't look for anything else. It's all right here. Bothers me that people are looking for it someplace else. They hadn't even read this yet. We was installing some cabinets over here in this house, the staff house in the basement over there. We've been trying to get this apartment done. Been working on it for months off and on, and we were installing the cabinets over there in the kitchen. Me and Brother Rep Logan and Brother Nathan, we was in there, and I said, I ain't never done this before. I seen it done. I ain't never done it. I said, we'll hang them all, and if it ain't right, then we'll go back and read the directions, see what we did wrong. I was joking, of course. But that's the way most Christians live their life. Let's just wing it, and if we crash and burn, then we'll find out what we did wrong. We'll go talk to the preacher, or we'll listen to the Word of God. Listen, David said, I'm going to do your will, and I'm going to hide the law of God within my heart. If you don't have the law of God in your heart, that law obviously talking about the Word of God. David used a lot of different words to describe the Scriptures. He talked about his precepts. He talked about his commandments. He talked about his statutes. He talked about his law. He talked about his Word. They're all talking about the Scripture. We need the Word of God in our hearts. And the only way you're going to have it in your heart is you got to read it. You got to meditate on it. And you got to study it. Unfortunately, the only Bible a lot of people ever get is what they get at church. It's already been processed. Preacher's already chewed it up and put it on a baby spoon for them, and then they come to church and it's like, open your mouth. Wow, here we go. And then the pastor feeds you. Don't raise your hand, but how much time have you spent reading your Bible this week? It's already Wednesday night. Week's over, half over. How much time have you spent reading the Word of God? How much time have you spent meditating on the Word of God? How much time have you spent studying the Word of God? Just one verse, just one word, just one truth, just one concept. Because you're not going to do the will of God if you don't know what it is. And you won't know what it is if you're not hiding His Word in your heart. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." I think we got a whole lot of other junk in our heart. Requires an education. If you're going to do the will of God, you got to know the will of God. To know the will of God, you got to know the Word of God. Well, if the only word that you ever get from somebody else, you're not doing yourself any favors. You got to spend time in the Word. You got to turn the radio off, turn the TV off, spend some time meditating on it. I know, I'm the world's worst. I get in the truck, start down the road, cut the radio on. Cut the radio on, 680. I listen to it about 15 minutes and I get mad and turn it off. I don't care if it's the morning show. I don't care if it's Rush. I don't care if it's Sean. I don't care who it is. They get me so aggravated, but you cut it off. Just leave the radio off and think about the goodness of God for a little while. So it starts with an education. If you don't know the will of God, you ain't gonna be able to do it. And the only way you're gonna know His will is by reading this book right here. And God has a way. The Holy Spirit has a way of showing you His will for today in whatever you read today. He has a way. It's fresher. My daddy used to say this. I didn't understand it at the time. He said, "The Word of God's fresher than tomorrow's newspaper." And a whole lot more accurate. Starts with an education. Thy word, thy law is within my heart. Thy will, O my God, yea, thy law. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. It's the only thing you have in this day and age that makes any sense, that you can rely on, that you can put your confidence in. It's gotten so bad now when a news notification comes across my phone, about 3/4 of the time I said, "That ain't even true. That ain't even what happened. I don't even have to send 15 FBI agents to that NASCAR driver's garage. I knew good and well nobody put a noose in that man's garage. I knew good and well that was a lie when I read it." 15 FBI agents dispatched to go look at a rope hanging from the ceiling. People getting shot in the streets left and right in this country. God help us. You can't trust nothing anymore. But this right here. Now, if you don't read this and you're listening to all that, you're not going to know God's will. Starts with education. Educate yourself. Know what God said. That's point number one. We're going backwards. Education. Number two, let's look at the execution. He said, "I delight to do." You know, it's one thing to know the will of God. It's another thing to do it. To actually execute the will of God once you have learned it. A lot of people act like they want to know God's will. And then He says, "All right, I appreciate you asking. Here's what I want you to do." And they go, "Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Here am I, Lord, send me." "All right, well, then I want you to go over here across the street and I want you to witness to your neighbor." "Oh, not them. Lord, whatever you want me to do, just tell me." "Okay, I want you to do this." "Well, no, I can't do that. I just want you to go to church." "I can't go to church. I got too much to do." "I want you to tithe." "I can't afford to tithe." I want you to go soul winning. It conflicts with my schedule." Once you learn the will of God, stay with me now, you've got an obligation to actually do it. Here, I thought of this verse right when they were singing that last. I thought of this right here. And I opened my Bible up, right, brand new Bible. Opened my Bible up right there to it. Ezra chapter number 7, verse number 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it." Amen. Once he found out what God wanted, he did it. And he prepared his heart to do it. Took my truck to the shop. I told you that Sunday. Did I tell you that Sunday? I was going to take my truck to the shop. Some of y'all are shaking your head no. Some of you shaking your head this way. What church did you go to Sunday? I took my truck because I told you it was overheating, antifreeze and water was leaking out of it. You remember that, Miss Hall? Okay. I want to bring you along with me on this journey, and I don't want to leave nobody behind. I took my truck in there on Monday morning, and the guy said, what needs to be done? I said, well, I've kind of let it pile up. I need this looked at, and this looked at, and this looked at, and this looked at. He said, all right, Mr. Shifford, we'll look at it. I said, I got bumper to bumper, premium, warranty, top of the line, bumper to bumper. You know what I found out? Half the problems with my truck is outside the bumpers. Did you know that? It's on the outs. It's not in between the bumpers. They're out here somewhere. So he called me and he said, well, this is what it's going to cost. I said, leave it like it is. It ain't that bad. I can live with it. I got the backup camera. Backup camera, little screen right there. Put it in reverse, and it shows you who's behind you. And it's just glitching like that right there. Just flickers like that right there. Like it's just having a fit. It is so inconvenient for me to have to look in my rearview mirror and see if there's anything behind me. I mean, I'm suffering for Jesus, having to turn around and look. I'm like, man, this is 2020. I got to turn around and look, see if there's anybody behind me. I got that running board. When you open the door, that running board, it comes out like that right there. Now, that's not just something fancy for us short people. That helps us get in the truck. I open that door, and that running board, it slides out like that right there. And I step upon that thing like a king, get in my truck. But the one on the passenger side, it's real slow. It just like it don't want to, and it just comes out. And you know me, I can't wait. So I just jump over it while it's coming out. I just crawl over it. And I said, get that fixed. I don't like that. And it's pouring water and antifreeze at the bottom of my truck. And my transmission, sometimes when I'm coasting and then I hit the gas, it slams. Like, feels like somebody rams me in the back and scares me. It's my transmission. I said, get all that looked at. Well, he called me back and he said, it's what it's going to cost. I said, leave the running board. I don't worry about the running board. That's fine. That didn't bother me. That didn't bother me at all no more. And that camera, just leave that. I'll just crane my neck and look. And he said, ain't nothing wrong with your transmission. I said, well, there's something wrong with it. I don't know how y'all can pick it up, but something wrong with it. Because it ain't supposed to do that. Must have been one of them neo-evangelical preachers that your life's falling apart and he tells you you're doing great. I know it ain't doing great. It ain't supposed to do that when you're driving it. I'm going to have to go find me a more judgmental mechanic. Yeah. Tell me what's wrong with my truck. Amen. Tickling my ears. I don't want to tell me anything wrong with it. I know something's wrong. So he said, well, what about that antifreeze and water dripping out the bottom? He said, you got a rubber hose needs to be replaced. I said, what's that going to cost me? He said, $740. I said, I'll just park next to the water hose and top it off every morning. Forget that. And I got on the internet and I bought the hoses for $20. I'll do it myself. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying we go to the Word of God and we say, Lord, I want you to tell me whatever it is you want me to do, whatever it is that's wrong in my life, whatever it is I need to stop doing, whatever it is I need to start doing, Lord, I want you to show me. And then God gives you a detailed list. You go, I'm just going to leave it like it was. Huh? Yeah, my marriage ain't that bad. My parenting's not that bad. It ain't supposed to be like this, but it's just too much trouble. Are y'all still with me? You're ready for Sri Lanka to preach now, ain't you? It ain't supposed to be like this. My temper, my attitude, the way I respond. I know it's not supposed to... Like right out in the middle of nowhere. It's not supposed to. But you know what? It's just too much trouble. I'm just going to leave it like it is. And if anybody asks me, I'm just going to tell them, no, I'm fine. It ain't that big of a deal. He said, I delight to do thy will. When God shows you, and mark it down, he will show you. He will show you. You can be sitting there on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, not even paying attention. Your mind drifting. And somehow or another, the two-edged sword, God will find a way. Just come right all the way over there to where you're sitting. Pierce you. All the way to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And will discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you'll be sitting there saying, I wasn't even paying attention. And somehow or another, God showed me exactly what I needed to know. You see the education, you see the execution, but then you see the exhilaration. You know what David said? David said, I love it. I love it. When I find out God's will, and I've already made my mind up that I'm going to do it. And when I do it, I delight in it. I don't have to hold my nose. I don't have to cry and endure it. I enjoy it. I delight. There's something, David said, there's something about knowing the will of God and doing it that just makes my day. Can you do that? Can you say that? Because he said his commandments are not grievous in another place. Am I still in the book? He said his commandments are not grievous. But you watch a lot of Christians, they act like the will of God is the biggest hassle and chore. They don't walk out excited that they now know God's will and they get to do it. They walk out acting like you just put another half a dozen bricks in their backpack. Well, I guess I'll try to do that this week on top of everything else he's been preaching. I just don't understand why we got to do so much. It's just too much to remember. It's too much to do. I'm going to have to find me another church. This preacher just keeps telling me God's will. I don't want to know his will on that. Stay with me now. Huh? What we ought to be doing, sit on the edge of our seat, and when we get the revelation from God, then that's what we ought to do. Woo, that's exactly, that right there is what I'm talking about. That was that one thing I needed to know right there to fix my marriage and fix my mental problems and fix my emotional problems and fix my temper problems and help me with my parenting and help me to be more effective and help me to be more spirit-filled. That right there is what I needed. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. Boy, I'm going to start doing that right away. David said, I delight to do his will. And I keep his law in my heart. So here's my question to you tonight. That was a little mini message. Like Chick-fil-A's got them little mini biscuits and little bitty, little bite-sized biscuits, little nugget in there. You squirt a little mustard on there, it's just perfect. That's what that was right there. Little bite-sized message. Can you say with David, I delight to do thy will, O God?